Praise the Lord. Let's just pray before we minister the word today. Father, we want to thank you for your awesome presence in this place. We recognize, Holy Spirit, that without you, we can do nothing. That Jesus, without you, we can do nothing. So this morning, I ask, Father, that you would bring a level of revelation and impartation to these precious people that have assembled here this morning. I thank you, Lord, that the anointing will break every yoke, will destroy every work of the enemy that's come against your people and bring them to a place of breakthrough. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Just before I minister the word of God today, I've written a couple of books. One's called In Pursuit of the Call. And this is a little bit of the story of my life up until 2009. And it's all about understanding the process of the call of God. It's one thing to be called by God. It's another thing to get to the place that God calls you. So God calls us from our place to his place. And I really appreciate what I've seen here already this morning, the music, the worship, the a cappella praise. You've already ministered to me, and we could just go out of this building already this morning having been ministered to by God. And so I've been very raw and honest and open about a lot of things that happened in my life. Of course, the story has gone on, and there's been a lot of ups and downs in the process of the call of God. But one thing I know, and I'm trusting God this morning, that as I minister his word, which is going to be called brokenness to breakthrough, that God has a way of getting you to the place he's called you to. No matter how hard the enemy tries and how hard he tries to destroy your life and to end things in your life, God will make sure you get to your place. As we look at the life of the second book I wrote is called Your Dream is in the House. This book is about understanding that God has a place for you to be involved in, a local church for you to be involved in. You will not find the dreams of your life in every church. You can't just go from church to church, from place to place, and expect God to fulfill the dreams of your life. But God has a place where those dreams will be fulfilled. And those people that have called Hill City Church your home, you will realize, if you get a hold of this book, that the things that God has for you in this place is, when you find the place of God, he starts to introduce himself to you there. He starts to unfold the dream he has for your life there. He starts talking to you about the inheritance he has for your life, for not just for you, but for your children, for your grandchildren. And, you know, I've got one of my daughters here today and some grandchildren here today, one, my grandson, and another adopted grandson here today. And one of the things that I pray every day is, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. Not just in my life, but I invite my family into my circle. I have a circle, and I bring them into my life. And people that are divinely connected to me, I bring them into the circle every day, and I ask God to ensure that his kingdom will come and his will be done in their lives. So I believe these books will be a blessing to you. They're not expensive. One is $5, the other is $10. I'm not about making money, but about resourcing the body of Christ. So this morning, I want to speak to you about getting to your place of destiny. And along the way, there's a lot of stuff that happens in the process and the call of God. A lot of times we find ourselves in a broken place. And just because you are a man of God or a minister of God, you know, I've been ordained to be an apostle. And God has allowed me to travel the world, to minister to people all over the world. I count it a great honor and a great privilege. But sometimes, like the apostle Paul, and we're going to look at his life this morning, we find ourselves in a broken place. And so today, even though The word will be powerful. I'm ministering to you out of a broken place. Because I know that God is able to bring us from brokenness to breakthrough. God does great things with broken pieces and broken people. Oswald Chambers said these words, "Leave the broken, irreversible past in God's hands and step out into the invincible future with Him." In a week's time, we'll be celebrating Passover, Good Friday, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, which is the whole reason why we're even sitting in this building today, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And on the night before He was betrayed, He had a supper with His disciples, and He uttered these words, "This is My body, broken for you." He was making a declaration that what He was about to step into, the destiny of His life, was to be a broken Savior, a broken Messiah, so that the people that He was going to be broken for could be restored and put back together. So the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53 begins to show us a picture of this broken Savior. In verse 3 it says, "He's despised and rejected, forsaken, a man of sorrows or pains, and acquainted with grief or sicknesses." In verse 5 it says, "He was wounded and pierced through for our transgressions. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities." Everything Jesus did, all the brokenness that He went through, was in seeing people's lives restored. He did it for us. He took upon Himself our transgressions. He took upon Himself our sins, so that we could be forgiven and transformed into the likeness of Himself. It says He was, "By His stripes," or the blows that cut in, "we are healed." A couple of chapters later in Isaiah 58 verse 12, it reveals Jesus has gone from being the broken Savior, the broken Messiah, to being the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the streets to dwell in. He also said these words when He stood and preached for the first time, "I'm anointed to heal brokenhearted people. I'm anointed to bring recovery of sight to the blind. I'm anointed to set at liberty those who are oppressed by the devil and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He was speaking about a Jubilee year, He Himself being the Jubilee. And the Jubilee year speaks of a restoration of everything that's been taken away from God's people and given back to them. In other words, He's saying, "I'm here to restore all the years that the locusts have eaten in your life. I'm preaching an acceptable year. I'm preaching a year of the goodness of God." And you know, this year, 5,779 in the Jewish calendar, is the year of goodness, the year of the goodness of the Lord. If you have a Bible, come with me to the book of Acts chapter 27. And we're going to be reading from verse 18. Just before we read this, just to give you a background, Paul has been arrested, the Apostle Paul has been arrested in Jerusalem because of preaching the gospel. He's gone from being a person that drags Christians out into the streets and imprisons them or kills them to somebody who's now a proclaimer of the good news of Jesus Christ. And because of his proclamation, he's now arrested in the city of Jerusalem, where Jesus was crucified. And he's taken to Felix and Agrippa, where he has to give an account of why he's there, which is for no reason really, other than the religious people of the day didn't like what he was speaking. And so he's because of his heritage, he is a Roman citizen, also a Jew, but a Roman citizen, and he's appealed to Caesar. And he's on his way to Caesar. He's on a ship now, and they are in a huge storm. How many people have ever been in a storm in their life? Both physical and also emotional storms come to rock our life. The enemy wants to stop you from arriving at your destination in God. So just here, I'm just going to read a few phrases. There's quite a lot of this passage here, but I just want to highlight a few things. And then I believe God's got some keys for us this morning that will bring us to our destiny, that will bring us to our Rome where Paul was heading. It says, the next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing cargo overboard, and the following day they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars. This storm was just not a one-night affair. It wasn't a hurricane that we see come across the land, and it might last for 24 hours or, 48 hours and then pass on. This storm that Paul and the crew of the ship and the people that are on this ship, as we read down, has been going for 14 nights. And sometimes we can find that we are in a situation or a storm in our life that doesn't just last a day or two, but it's ongoing. I can tell you, I've been in a storm for over 4 years. And the enemy is relentless at trying to stop you arriving at the place of your destination. It says the terrible storm raged for many days. So Paul calls the crew together. He said, you should have listened to me. One of those I told you so moments. And I'm not sure he was trying to, boast about the fact, but he said, I want to tell you that last night an angel stood beside me and began to encourage me and to tell me that not one person on the ship would be lost. He said, you will surely stand trial before Caesar. Now, I want you to just take note of that phrase, that he would stand trial before Caesar. This was his destination and his destiny. He was going to stand before the king of the known world, the ruler of the world at that time, and be able to give testimony of his relationship with Jesus Christ, but also defend what was taking place in his life. He said, I want you to take courage because none of you will lose your lives. The angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid because you'll stand trial before Caesar. So God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. And he says, for I believe God. How many people believe God here this morning? It's easy to believe God when things are going well. It's easy to say I'm a person of faith when things are going well. But faith is not measured by heaven falling upon us. Faith is measured by when hell stands beside us. So they're driven across the sea for 14 nights now. They were afraid, the Bible says. And they were soon to be driven against the rocks. So they throw out the anchors. They prayed for daylight. They tried to abandon the ship, but Paul said, if they abandon the ship, everybody will be lost. Some people were trying to escape. Some of the soldiers. You will die unless the sailors stay aboard. So they cut the ropes. He encourages them to eat some food because they haven't eaten for 14 days. You know, when you're going through a turmoil in your life, when you're going through a storm in your life, sometimes you can't even eat. When trouble comes to you, when sickness comes to your body, that unexpected cancer, that unexpected marriage problem, it seems like you can hardly eat because of the trouble that you're going through. And so here, these people are in fear of their lives. 14 nights, this storm's been raging, blocking out the sun, blocking out the stars. You can't even see in front of you because of the storm. And sometimes when we're going through an emotional time in our life or some physical ailment in our body or some marriage situation or a divorce or some financial crisis in our life, we can hardly see what the next step of our life is going to be like. So they throw everything overboard after they've eaten. They cut off the anchors. They lower the rudders. They raise the sail. And the ship runs aground. They can see the shore. But because the ship has run aground, it says here in the Word of God, it was being smashed by the force of the waves and it began to break apart. So Paul encourages those who can swim, jump overboard and swim to the shore, and everybody else grab a piece of the broken ship so everyone escapes safely to the shore. Whew. They made it to the shore. Not one life was lost. So let me give you some encouraging keys this morning. I don't know where you are, but the theme of this weekend is help comes from God. No matter what trouble you may be facing, what trial there may be happening in your life, number one, keep trusting God no matter what. Keep trusting God no matter what. Even once you allow God to build something from your broken pieces, you're going to have to keep trusting God after that. The night is passing. A long night has passed. They see the shore. They cut the anchors. They untie the rudders. They hoist the sail. The soldiers say we need to kill them because they're prisoners and just in case they escape. But God had put upon the heart of the centurion to protect Paul and therefore protect everybody else. One of the enemy's oldest tricks is that after you've taken one step forward, he seems to hit you and you take two steps backwards. He loves to pull the rug out from under God's people so that they will lose hope. And when people lose hope, they despair and they give up on God. But I'm here to encourage you this morning, people of God, don't give up on God. Just trust God no matter what in the situations that you face. Grab a piece of the brokenness of your life and hang on to it. Just like they began to hang on to the broken pieces of the ship and it carried to the shore, their brokenness became their breakthrough. And God will do the same for us. It doesn't matter what mistakes or detours or straying that you may have done. You may have strayed away from God. You might be here and you know you haven't really walked with God the way you should. You've strayed away in your quiet time, your Bible reading. You know, you come to church when you feel like it because you say, what's the use? It's so difficult. This thing's been going on so long in my life. How can I keep doing it? It's not about what you've said or you haven't said. It's not about what you've done or you haven't done. It's not about your pain or your fear or your anxiety that you may be feeling in the situation. No matter how dark your secret is, no matter how terrible your situation, God can do great things with your broken pieces. The second point I'd like to make today is that you can yield your shipwreck to God. Yield your shipwreck to God. If God can create an ark that saved Noah and his family, he can create an ark big enough to save you through the floodwaters that are arising around your life. He's not brought you this far to let you flounder and drown just a few feet from the shore. That is not what our Heavenly Father is like. That is not what our God is like. He will sustain you. He will protect you. He will carry you to get you out. And he's done that to get you to where you are right now. He has a purpose for you. You will get to Rome if you surrender your wreckage to Him. Jesus can calm any storm by just speaking to it. Several times we see Jesus speak to storms as the disciples are going across the sea. One time He comes to them walking on the water. Another time He's asleep in the boat. But both times Jesus steps into the boat or steps into the situation, speaks to the situation, and calms the storm. And I'm trusting God that this word will calm your storm this morning, whatever it is you might be going through. God's purposes are greater than our brokenness. You know, in the Word of God, we are assured that He's with us, that He'll always be there. Let me ask you these questions just to encourage you this morning. What if the storm is not meant to bring us down, but to elevate us? What if the storm is orchestrated to bring us to a greater awareness of the power of God that is available to us in Jesus Christ? What if the storm is a setup for a step up? You know, an eagle, when it sees the storm, flies right into it and catches the currents of the storm to cause it to rise higher and higher and higher and higher until it's above the storm. And I believe if we trust in God, if we yield our shipwreck to God, as we just put out our hands and lift up our hands to God, He will cause us to rise above the storm and to ride it out in Jesus' name. I love this passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. It says, "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God." We are never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Jesus said these words in Luke 1:37, "For the word of God will never fail." The word of God will never fail. If it's broken, God can fix it. If it's empty, God can fill it. If it's failed, God can restore it. If it's sin, God can forgive it. If it's wrong, God can make it right. If it's crooked, God can make it straight. If it fell, God can pick it up. If it's paralyzed, God can move it again. If it's dead, God can resurrect it. Nothing is beyond God and nothing is impossible with God. I don't know if you've ever seen a mosaic, but a mosaic is an ancient art form that's put together by broken pieces of tile and glass and stone. And somehow, out of hundreds or even thousands of broken little pieces, a masterpiece is made out of those broken pieces, called a mosaic. Miracles are the mosaics God forms from the broken pieces of our lives. If we're struggling to see that, will you trust Him with all of the broken, dirty, shattered, and scarred pieces of your life? We sang a song about the scars that we've borne, that the team sang about this morning. You know, you don't have to be perfect to call on the name of Jesus. We simply have to acknowledge we're broken. I'm broken, Lord. I've got brokenness in my life. I just can't keep things together. I can't keep my ship together. You don't have to be perfect to call on the name of Jesus, because that name is perfect all by itself. Cry out to Him and acknowledge your need. If you're struggling to stay afloat, grab a piece of broken wood and you will get to the shore. Almost 300 people in this story that we've spoken about already hung on to pieces of broken wood, and it got them to the shore. The cross is the piece of broken wood that we can hang on to this morning. It will get us to our destination. The preaching, the Apostle Paul said, of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are born again, who are following Jesus, it is the power of God for our lives. Never underestimate the power of the cross, the power of the gospel. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. So God uses these broken pieces to carry us home. We can trust Him with the broken pieces of our life, and He will make something beautiful out of that, just like the mosaic. When you give your broken pieces to Jesus, you learn to worship with your wounds. You learn to praise with your problems. You learn to move with the mess. You learn to rejoice in the ruckus. You learn to sing in the sorrow and dance in the drought. Praise God, the drought's broken. Amen. So when we know what we know about God and what His promised for our lives, our circumstances should not change our praise, but our praise should change our circumstances. And when we praise God in the middle of the storm, it reminds us that God is our Father, that God is Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, that He loves us enough to sacrifice His own Son for us on a cross, on two pieces of broken wood. See, God knows your strengths and He knows your weaknesses. He knows your faith and your fears. He knows your dreams and your nightmares. And He still loves you. His grace and mercy have no limits. His love for you is unconditional. Somebody needed to hear that right now. His love for you is unconditional. No life is beyond hope. And no life is beyond the reach of God in the storms that we go through. I love this scripture in Jeremiah 29:11. To some of you it may be familiar. It says, "For I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Did you know Jesus and the Heavenly Father were watching over you while you were being formed in your mother's womb? According to Psalm 139. And He began to write down in a book all the days that were fashioned for you. You're written in His book. There's a plan, there's a purpose, there's a destiny written down in His book. And He wants you and I to arrive at that place of destiny. Just like He wanted Paul to arrive in Rome. And no storm could stop it. So number three, no matter how powerless you feel, keep on praising. Sometimes when events and things are happening in our life, we feel powerless. We feel like we're not in control. There's nothing we can do. You know, if we are in control, we will be focused upon ourselves. But if God is in control, we'll be focused upon Him. So no matter how powerless you feel, keep on praising. No matter how messed up your life seems, keep on praying. No matter how broken you are, keep on believing. For those who sing in the desert will dance in the promised land. God has a promised land for every person in this room. He has a place of promise for every person, and He's desperate for you to arrive there. And He will stop every storm and bring you through every trial, every problem, every situation, every circumstance in your life. God will be there to make sure you get to your place. There's a man called John Newton who wrote a song called Amazing Grace. How many people are familiar with that song? If my daughter was prepared, I'd get her to sing it for you, because she does an amazing rendition, but she's shaking her head. John Newton got word that his wife and two daughters had been killed. Fell to his knees and began to sing this song. This is one of the verses of the song. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me thus safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Grace is something amazing, something powerful that we could never earn ourselves, being given to us by God. He paid a debt that we could never pay. So quit striving. You're going to make it to the shore. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ into your life, this is a wonderful day on this fifth celebration of this church to give your hearts to Christ. He's paid the price for you. This Easter is a great time to invite the Savior into your life. You know, the most powerful people on the planet are not the ones with the riches. They're not the ones with the armies. And they're not the millions of the ones with the millions of social media followers. The most powerful people on the planet are those set free by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. So why do we struggle? I believe it's the tension of living between heaven and earth. You see, the Bible says that we're just pilgrims passing through if we're Christians, if we're born again. Our citizenship is not here, it's in heaven. And so because of our human frailty, our human makeup, we struggle between knowing what God has done for us and what heaven offers us, and living here in this restricted place called earth. We are in the process of being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. So when you've been through a shipwreck, it can be hard to stand on the shore again. If you've been at sea for a number of days or a week or two, when you get off, you're kind of still rocking. How many people have been on a cruise? You kind of still feel like you've got sea legs after you get off. One of our anniversaries, Meredith and I went to Noumea, that's my wife, and on the way back there was this huge storm and the waves were so big and, you know, the crockery and the cutlery were falling off the tables and everything. It was terrible. And so it was very, very rocking. So when you got off the boat, you were still rocking when you got off. But I want to encourage you to submit the effects of any trauma or storm in your life to God. And He will steady you. He will lift you up if you fall. You can rest upon His shoulder. You may be wondering, how did I make it? What kept me going? There's only one explanation for those who have survived the storm, who got out of the pit, or were freed from your prison. There's only one reason, and that is God. Only God can bring you out of your situation. Only God could have got you through your cancer. Only God could have got you through that messy divorce. Only God could have got you through your financial collapse. God is our source. God is our very present help in time of trouble. You might be scared, scarred, and soaked because of the storm. You might be wet, weary, and worn out, but you still made it. You're sitting here this morning. Somehow you got through. You might be in the middle of a storm right now. God will get you safely to the shore. Nothing can separate you from God. Not your fears or your insecurities. Not your divorce or your bankruptcy. Not your disease or your injury. Not your addiction or your abuse. Not your failed relationships or your lost opportunities. Nothing will separate us from the love of God, according to the Apostle Paul, who went through that storm, who wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 8. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. Let's come back to the story. In Acts 28, The next chapter, verses 3 to 5, Paul's endured the storm. You may have endured the storm, raised your anchor, cut the rope, trusted God, held tight. You made it. And Paul's there shivering from the sea he's just got out of. He gathers a bundle of sticks to put on the fire to get him to warm him. And the Bible says here, a viper crawled out because of the heat and fastened itself to his hand. Can you imagine a snake? Me standing here this morning with a snake hanging off my hand. Immediately, the people of the island thought, this man's a murderer. But Paul shook the snake off, and it had no effect on him. And a verse or two later, they're saying, this man must be a god. People are fickle. They can change their mind just like that. We should not be, our faith in God should not be determined by our circumstances. Who you are in God is not who you are because of your circumstances. It's because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Because of his resurrection. You know, the Bible is filled with strange, amazing things. Like Noah building a massive ark and all the animals of the earth, two of each kind, getting on that ark and his family being saved. Like Moses and the whole, I don't know, man, it's up to 3 million people walking through the Red Sea. Amazing things. Three Hebrew boys untouched by the fire when they're thrown into it. Daniel thrown into a lion's den, not eaten by the lions. These are all amazing phenomena. The widow's jar of oil not running out in the drought. Rahab's scarlet thread in the New Testament. Water becomes wine. A few loaves and fishes feed thousands of people. Lame, blind, and dead instantly walk, see, and return to life. And even Jesus Christ himself is raised from the dead. So it seems, in comparison, Paul's instance with the snake, with the viper, is minuscule compared to all the great things that we have read about God in the Bible. But if you've ever had a snake attached to your hand, you might say otherwise. If you've ever been through a divorce, you might say something else. If you've ever had cancer or some tumor or some sickness in your body, that might be a storm for you compared to all the amazing things God has done in his life. It's like, are you kidding me? Paul's been through the storm. He's been through everything he's been through. He's just getting warmed by the fire, and a snake jumps out of the fire and bites him. Seems like it's a bit like a Job situation. Job's a blameless man. And all of a sudden, everything collapses in his life. His children are killed in a freak storm. He loses all his cattle and his everything he owns. He loses. It just goes one thing after another. You know, if just one of those things happened to us, that would be tragic enough. But imagine all of those things happening at once, as it did to Job. You know, I'm with Indiana Jones. Anybody seen the Raiders of the Lost Ark? He says, I'd hate snakes. How many people hate snakes? Some people have them as pets. I just don't know how they can do that. So the other day, I'm on the phone talking to my bank. And I walk around from the kitchen, and there's a little step that goes down into the living room. And I look down, and here's a snake in my house next to the step. I run back to the cupboard. I said to the fellow on the phone, hang on, I'm just busy right now, just hang on. I put the phone down, I run to the cupboard, I look for something, and all I can see is a cobwebber. So I grab it. By the time I go back, the snake's gone, it's gone under the lounge. So I call the snake people. He said, it'll take me half an hour to get there, it'll cost this much for the call-out fee, and then $60 for every half an hour. I said, my goodness. So then I rang the council, and the people they recommended, they no longer lived in the area, and so forth. So I rang the guy back and said, okay, you better come, because I've got grandchildren that come into my house all the time, and I can't afford to have a snake in my house. But I quickly ran outside and grabbed the shovel. You see, I was raised on a farm. And I was taught the only good snake is a dead snake. And I could see all the people of my heritage and years saying the same. So I put the shovel there just in case. So I'm there. I'm just looking at something on my phone, and I'm sitting on the chair. It's kind of near the step, and so I can keep an eye on the lounge. I turned around, and then I turned back, and here's the snake coming straight for me. So I moved on my chair, and it swirled around, went back to the step. I grabbed the shovel, and I chopped its head off. Now, I've got to tell you, the snake was that long. But still, the only good snake is a dead snake. And sometimes a snake called the devil can just come out of nowhere and attach itself to your life. Just when you thought you just got through the storm, all of a sudden, here it is. Just like Job. He just thought got through the death of his children and then all his livestock. He just got through all of that, and then all these boils break out on his body. I mean, it was one thing after another. So number four, you have to shake it off. Tell the person next to you, you've got to shake it off. You know, God will help us, but there's some things we just have to do. We have to shake it off. When the snake of the unexpected leaps out of the fire to bite you, you have to shake it off. You can't let the sting of the temporary setback become the poison of hopelessness in your life. Sometimes when the snake comes out of nowhere, it can bring great fear around your life. When it comes to the destiny of God for our lives, the fear that Satan brings is not an emotion. It's a spirit. And for those who don't understand that, we live, you know, where there's a fight going on. You're in a battle. Paul said to the church, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Principalities and powers. You need to understand we're in a fight. And as Christians, it's going to get harder and harder. Look at Israel Folau, just because he has an opinion as a Christian. Now lost his place on the Australian national rugby team. You are not going to be able to be free to speak like you are right now. It's going to get harder and harder. So you better know you can trust God in the storm. You better be able to yield your situation to Him. You better be able to praise Him no matter what's going on. And you better be able to shake off that serpent. Paul didn't panic. He didn't immediately give up and go, oh, after going through all of that, the snake, I think I'll just lie down and die. No, he didn't do that. He didn't denounce God. He didn't embrace a cynical view of God. He didn't create a drama or demand to be the center of attention. He didn't embrace the snake or tolerate it. You can't embrace what the world is trying to push on the church. Already denominations have buckled and yielded. You know, Pastor Joe said I had the privilege of coordinating the Graham Tour here in Perth, where we gathered 260 churches and organizations and filled the Perth arena. And hundreds of people came to Christ. It was such a wonderful thing seeing the church come together. We're going to have to come together. I'm telling you, we're going to have to come together because the pressure is going to get greater and greater for the people of God. The time is short. We're running out of time. So don't let the sting of the temporary setback become the poison of hopelessness in your life. You say, well, how can we shake it off? How could Paul shake it off when he couldn't perhaps before? Because you've been through a few storms now. You've been through a few trials. You've been through a few problems before. You've been through rejection before. You've been through that financial situation before, and God came through. You survived the shipwreck. You made it to shore. You've already been through some circumstances. I know there's not one person sitting here who hasn't been through something. And if we're honest, we're just a bunch of broken people put back together by a wonderful Savior. And through it all, God was faithful. God protected. God promoted. Through it all, you found God causes everything to work together for good. We sang that today. For those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And nothing can be against us or separate us from the love of God. When the enemy springs an attack, remind yourself of God's truth and not the devil's lies. When that snake jumps out of nowhere, say, Mr. Viper, I carry an anointing. I carry the blessing of God. I carry courage and strength. And none of this is from me, it's from God. I didn't get handed this anointing on a silver platter. It came through adversity. It came through the fires that never burned me. It came through the waters I had to go through that never drowned me. Isaiah the prophet says, you'll go through the fire, but you won't be burnt. You'll go through the waters, but you won't be drowned. You are God's precious, beloved child. You're His child. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You've been sealed by the Spirit of Almighty God. Nothing can separate you from the divine destiny awaiting for you in Rome. Jesus said these words, I've given you authority to trample on snakes. I've given you authority. Speaking of the demonic forces. Jeremiah said to the people of God in chapter 1, verse 19, they will fight you, but they will fail. For I am with you and I will take care of you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Storm survivors are not afraid of snakes. Shipwreck survivors are not threatened by what comes out of the fire. Snake survivors know how to shake off whatever jumps out at them. All things that once hurt you, once threatened you, once scared you, once intimidated you, once tried to harm you, have now made you stronger. Don't allow the enemy to slither his way into your thoughts and poison your dreams. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake off rejection. Shake off the closed doors. Shake off the negativity. Shake off failure. Failure is not a person. It's an event. Can you imagine Edison, who invented the light globe that we enjoy still today? 2,000 times he tried. Someone said to him one day, aren't you sick of failing? Aren't you sick of being a failure? He said, these things are not failures. They are just 2,000 experiments that didn't work. And sometimes we experiment things and they don't work. But move on to what God has in front of you right now. You see, because God has given you an anointing to overcome. Your prayers will stop the enemy. Your praise will confuse him. Your peace will paralyze him. Your integrity will disarm him. Your resistance will make him flee. when he lashes out at you. There's no time to stand and wait for the poison to take effect. We have to shake it off. So shake off these things, the apathy, the complacency, the unbelief, the unforgiveness. We haven't got time to be in a place of unforgiveness or bitterness. Bitterness will defile you and everybody around you. Shake it off. Shake off the fear. Shake free from the vipers of life. Oh, just stand to our feet for a minute. Let's just stand to our feet. I want you to close your eyes and think of that viper. Now, it's not a physical snake, you understand. Now, I want you to begin to shake it off. Do whatever you need to do. Shake your body, shake your hand. Just do something. Shake that thing off. You know, no one enjoys being blindsided or caught off guard by these vipers. But through God's power and protection and provision, you can shake off anything that jumps out at you. The last point I want to make today is you are stronger from the struggle. You are stronger from the struggle. The Apostle Paul was near the shore where he landed. And there was a chief official in the land whose father was ill with fever and dysentery. So Paul prays for him and he's healed. And then many people come to get healed. All the sick people came and were healed. And as a result, they showered him with honors and people supplied him for everything he would need for his trip to Rome. What is God saying from that final piece of scripture? The very hand that the snake or the devil tried to bite and to end your journey is the hand that God will use to heal other people. The same hand that was bitten by the viper Paul used to heal the sick on the island of Malta. They expected him to swell up and die, but he shook it off. He was stronger because of the struggle. The enemy was attacking, but he made it to the shore and he made it to Rome. Sometimes the enemy likes to release a slow-acting poison in our life called shame. How could it have got to this place in my life? This isn't what I dreamt about. This isn't what I envisaged would happen. After all the years I've served God, this isn't what I envisaged to happen. Don't let that slow, lingering thing called shame, because it's not about what you've done or you haven't done. It's not about what you said or you haven't said. It's not what's haunting your mind or your heart today. The enemy has no power against us. We will still struggle maybe with forgiving ourselves. But you have to. Your suffering is not for nothing. Others may have intended to silence you, arrest you, hurt you, bankrupt you, divorce you, betray you, abuse you, fire you, abandon you. But God turned it around and saved you. All the broken pieces He will use to bring you safely to your destination. Out of His unlimited resources, God will supply. He will bring the answer. And one thing you need to remember, the devil gives you problems, but God gives you purpose. He's all about purpose for your life. So, people of God, I want to congratulate you on getting to your fifth year. I know sometimes the struggles of pastoring a church. I know what it's like to go on a journey like you've gone on as the people of God here at Hill City Church. But God's favor is upon you, and no storm can wash it away. God's favor is upon you, and no shipwreck can sink you. God's favor is upon you, and no viper can poison the source of your power. Shake free, child of God. Shake free from the things that hold you back. You will make it to Rome. Your time is right now. So, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to cause your people to arrive at the place of their destination. No storm, no shipwreck, no viper will stop them from getting to that place. Because God, you are our help. You are the very source of our help. We declare God is the one that helps us. We give you praise. We give you praise.